The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for a special announcement right here on the Rahimi and Harris Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
What's that?
What? What?
And I have some breaking news for you.
In a world.
Whoa!
Yeah!
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm. Stay
Don't forget, coming up at 10 for a special announcement on the Rahimi and Harris Show on The Score.
What could it mean?
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
What's in the box?
Oh, what's in the box? What's in the box?
I say to myself, what's in the box? A lot. Well, you'll find out what it means
tomorrow. Do you have a lot of boxes laying around?
So, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., a special announcement.
Here we go. Here we go, Jeff. Here we go, Tony.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score.
Well, we do have a major station announcement. Thank you to Robbie Triano and Tyler Feringel for getting that together. Thanks to Brandon Fryer helping produce as well. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. You can call us and text us 312-644-6767. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our producers are Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. And we do have a major station announcement. This is the Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody.
Hey!
That's right. Mark is going to be a part of our show 5 days a week. He is with us in studio Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, and he will be at Hallis Hall on Wednesdays and Thursdays. There's only one way to officially welcome Mark to the show on a regular basis now. Bears.
Bears. Bears.
Bear. You know what? I'll just say it.
Can you bear it?
This is the real reveal to this. This is about to be an unprecedented moment. What I'm about to say, this is a, ready for this? A 10 Bears day. This is a 10 Bears day. Not because I'm... Not just because I am here. It's not about me. I get to be with Rahimi and Harris. That's why it's a special day to me. And then listening to that great open by the tree, my guy, Robbie Triano, I just realized that for the first time in my life, I have a special purpose. I have a special purpose in life.
What is the special purpose?
My special purpose is to be with you guys 3 days a week and to be out at Hallis Hall 2 days a week covering the Chicago Dam Bears and covering home Bears games and maybe even some Bears road games. So I have a special purpose. And I will say, too, is that, like, I just realized I am exactly where I am supposed to be in my life.
That's a good feeling, isn't it?
I just had that moment. Like, who knows what life brings in the next 5 to 10 years, but at this very second here, at 10:04:28 on a Thursday?
Thursday, yes.
I can confirm.
I am so happy, and I am exactly where I am supposed to be. I will say this, one thing that I will not bring, I am not unfiltered. I have a dual unfiltered system. So I am dually unfiltered. I want to make that very clear to you guys.
Does that mean you have two exhaust pipes?
I have two exhaust pipes. So I am doubly unfiltered. And just really quick, just to you guys specifically, thank you. Thank you, because, like, in a situation like this where you two are doing a show, I might look like an intruder, but you two have been nothing but friends, and please come and join us. So that means a lot. I'm being serious here because people can be disingenuous sometimes, and you guys are not. And I appreciate that. I've never felt like an intruder on your show. So thank you.
Of course, you're not an intruder on our show, and you know the Midday Show has had a third microphone for many years now. So I feel like it was a natural extension of what we had already been doing. And Mark, you've been such a welcome addition to anything you do at the Score. You've had a purpose for many years.
Yes.
Well, and I feel like you've been excelling in all of them, whether it's hosting the Take the North podcast, whether it's doing Bears Hits, whether it was reporting for the Cubs,
mm-hmm.
or reporting for the Bears, or should've being the sideline reporter for the Bears.
What'd you say?
I said, should have worn that ring today.
But the point is that listeners love you. We love you. You've been a part of this longer than we have.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's important, too. We want to have fun, and you bring a fun element to everything. And this show has typically had a third microphone, so Bears.
Bears, it means a lot. Robbie Triano, we got Baby T, as these guys said, Tyler Farengel, Ray Diaz. I just saw Ryan Barth walk out of the studio. Thank you to him and Mitch Rosen and everybody. And now for a list of 100 more people that I will thank. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to be one of those. Thank everybody.
Does this mean that you'll walk home with me sometimes when I can walk?
Well, no, 100%. That's what I mean. Like, I love my relationship with both of you guys. Like, you and I get to walk together. Sometimes I drive you around.
Aww.
Layla and I.
Love a good show friend.
Layla and I have had about 6 hours worth of phone calls lately. And people are like, oh, what were you guys talking about? Just everything. Watching Cubs games, you know, hanging out. Like, the topics were wide and varied. And then all of a sudden, it's like 12:30. It's like, and gotta go. Time to go.
20% of it has been Dave.
Yeah, Dave the cat, right? The ongoings of. And by the way, for the record, Dave doesn't care about any of this that I'm doing this. He just wants the food in his bowl. He wants to be played with just a little bit, and he just wants the litter box tidied up, you know, once a day.
Wait, so he only wants to play a little bit?
Nah, he likes to play all the time. He eats, and then it's playtime. It's tough, like when I'm a single cat dad. You guys understand that?
We understand. You're a cat daddy.
Yeah, right. It's very complex because he's all alone, and he's just a baby at 9 years old.
He's
just a baby. So when I come home
just
after a long day like yesterday, I was at Bears all day, then I went out to the Salt Shed last night, which for the first time, which is a sick venue.
That was your first time there?
Oh, my God. The outdoor portion, it was my first time at the Salt Shed.
Oh, Salt Shed's fantastic.
Oh, my God, it was beautiful, but I got home late, and there's a certain expectation from Dave the cat. He's like, I don't care how tired you are. I don't care that you've been gone all day. Get that mouse thing on the end of that string and let's play. So that's the way it went down yesterday.
That's basically like your responsibility to the Score listener.
Get
the mouse on the string.
Wow, that is such a great analogy. Yes, that is going to be symbolic. Mouse on a string.
I like the suggestion from 309 on the text line. Groats could be like Spiegel and have a list of reasons why others should love him.
Oh, it is. I did not know about this Spiegel list.
Number one reason is Bears.
Bears.
Number two reason is fun.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Fun Bears.
I thought we were just going to do 10 Bears. Number three is Bears, I would say.
Number four.
Bears.
Number 25.
Bad Cubs predictions.
They're hammering me right now on the text line 920. So now you can still give Marshall crap for saying the Cubs are going to overtake the Brewers in the division.
Well, yes. We can.
Layla. Listen, I didn't know Kyle Tucker was going to get hurt.
Also, the one emoji, we get two emojis on the text line. We get hearts and we get baseball. I don't know why these are the two, but 815 says, can never have too much Grody. Big congrats with the heart emoji that we can see. So other stuff, I'm sorry, we can't see those. But if you send us a heart or a baseball emoji, we can get those.
That is crazy.
I don't even think we can get a football. I'm not sure, but if you want that to be part of it, you can do that too. 309 says, yep, guys, Mitch Rosen came in on that segment. That's fantastic. And I feel like you have to say a few words on behalf of the Illinois State Hall of Fame.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, hey, the Illinois State, that is the school from whence I came, working for WZND Radio back in the day, 106.1 FM. Wizened, that's right. And just like most people in the business, especially on the AM radio side, of course. course, I did FM radio as well. The alternative rock back then, because that's when it all hit. And that's why, as most people who know me listening, I'm a little bit obsessed with alternative rock music from the past and from the present as well. But yeah, ISU is the goods. I owe a lot to them. And they owe me a lot, too, because, you know, I spent a lot of money going to
Levi's. I was
going to
say, you literally paid them. So yes.
Do you celebrate at Pub 2 now? Don't they have, like, some sort of bar food you can enjoy?
Did you just mention Pub 2?
Listen, there's two places that I've heard about and I want to go to.
Is that where Bears 2 drinks?
Number one is Pub 2. Number two is Cam's. But I hear it's a different Cam's than what it used to be in Champaign.
I've been to
both.
But
these are the two.
Yes, Pub 2 is one of the only standing bars as it was when I was there still to this day. And their signature food is, I know every ISU person driving around right now is like, the cheese balls, man, the cheese balls. The cheese balls at Pub 2 in Normal, Illinois are deluxe.
All right, that is it's happening. We got to celebrate.
They're
not
normal.
The cheese balls at Pub 2.
Let's do it. I would love to take a field trip
there.
To Redbird Nation, baby.
The train goes right there, from what I understand.
It does.
I've game planned this.
Oh, look at you.
I'm looking forward to my time there.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you have another announcement?
Oh. Not right. Not at this time. But
Marshall's going to get a degree. Oh, you're
Marshall's
going to,
yes. Going to Pub 2.
I'm gonna check out all the places y'all are talking about, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah, and I see. Okay, so the Twitch mob is chiming in here appropriately. And yeah, they are giving me the warning that Cam's 2 is not the same as original Cam's. But this is all I have, guys. I just still want to check it out. I feel like that's the right thing. The Illinois Fighting Illini are still ranked. I feel like that's the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. No, I went to it's Cam's 2. Is that, I don't even remember that was that name.
Is it Cam's 2? Is it like Bears 2?
Bears 2, Pub 2.
In case you don't know what Bears 2 is, Bears 2 was the mythical, when the Bengals were looking for money to improve their stadium and they didn't have any, Mike Florio suggested that the Bengals should merge with the Bears to have not only a stadium to rule them all, but that the Bengals would move here. So then we started talking about a mythical team called Bears 2, where they only care about the spreadsheets. They have cheerleaders. Perhaps their official bar is Pub 2. That would make sense. Or Cam's 2, as the case may be.
And Bears 2, by the way, they've had, see, the Bears have had 6 playoff wins since 1985. Bears 2, they have had 17 playoff wins since
Bears
1985.
Bears 2 has 0 and they don't care. They only care about the money.
Oh, yeah, because they're the hipster franchise and they have alternating uniforms and the whole thing.
Bears 2 has mustache tattoos on their fingers that then they put up here to be ironic.
Wow.
With sunglasses on, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it.
Bears 2's wearing skinny jeans for life. The women and the men.
Oh, no, don't do that. That's it. Mm.
Actually, Bears 2, I mean, they could very well. I mean, I've been hearing things about them occupying Soldier Field when the Bears do officially leave and go to Arlington Heights. So, yeah.
Do you have some breaking news?
No, I don't have some breaking news. I'm just kind of going with the flow on everything that is in the DNA of the air of Chicago right now.
So to make your life more complicated, this is now Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grote.
Hey, how's it going?
We're
going
to use his given name and not his given Shaq name, which is Mark Grote.
Grote.
But it's Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grote. The fun part will be when, because I talk slowly, they try to have to speed it up in all the official announcements. So good luck to Russ Matera. But the point is, Mark Grote, 3 days a week here in studio with us. 2 days he'll still be at Hallis Hall.
Yes, I will be out there covering the Bears, working the locker rooms, talking to coaches, and covering the games, as many games as I possibly can cover. So, and thank you to all the listeners. I mean, I always love an opportunity to just say thank you to everybody that listens to The Score, that's listened to me through the years, and all of my, as you said, I have had a lot of different roles at this company. I started down the hallway at WBBM. That was my first full-time job in radio, was doing sports and reporting all over town way back when. So, like, I've been here a long time. I don't even know how many years. But it's great, and I love Score fans interacting. The good, the bad, the ugly, because it's sports, and that's what happens. Sometimes it gets nasty, but that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in, and Bears.
I love it. Bears. Also, 708 says Bears 2 has a left tackle. So things are looking up. And Bears 2 actually signed Max Crosby. Wow.
Bears 1 has Bears 2's lots of on tackles a roll that oh, play yeah on the left side sometimes.
Oh, man.
They have some people there.
Yeah.
They have a collection.
Multiples. We call that multiples.
Their swing tackles could be starters. That's how good Bears 2 has been.
And thanks to everybody who is happy about this. We're getting a ton of positive messages on our text line and also on Twitch. So thank you, and yes, we are looking forward to it, too.
Yeah, I don't have the Twitch up. I'll get the Twitch up. The only time I don't look at the Twitch is when I'm leading the show.
Brody, you got to join the Twitch. I got to join the Twitch feed.
Yeah, just shout out to the Twitch mob. I feel like I don't say it enough. I'm always thinking about the Twitch mob every single day of my life. But seriously, no, thank you, because I know that those are some of the most loyal score listeners, period, that they're just hanging out there having fun, you know what I mean, coming up with their own topics and saying nice things and sometimes not nice things about what we're doing, but it's all, that's what it's all about. That is the essence, and I can't wait to get this thing rocking with you guys today. So I'm here today and then I'm off tomorrow. I'll be at Halas Hall. I compared it to the start of a baseball season. It's like you get that opening day and everybody's excited, and then you have the womp womp.
No, it's not womp womp, because you'll still be on with us tomorrow.
Well, I can't wait to be on with you guys tomorrow.
And then you come back on game day Monday.
Also, we have the Cubs pregame, essentially, because they've got the 120. The Friday 120 against the Nationals.
So you guys got a nice short show.
Everything is special. You know, everything is this is a weird week where you get a little bit of everything. You had a holiday. You have an announcement. We have other announcements at 11:45, by the way, that you won't want to miss. So
this is just the start.
Happening.
This is just the start. I mean, the afternoon show is going to be in the performance studio today, doing a live show with a live studio audience. I was talking to, apparently it's going to be a packed house. So
Spiegel and Holmes was filmed in front of a live studio audience. Do you remember when they used to say that all the time on TV?
I loved when they
I missed studio
say
audiences.
That. Yeah,
made the sitcoms better.
All in the Family.
It seemed more difficult as well.
Was it?
Because you got to tape stuff in front of people as opposed to not in front of people.
I think that's good for the acting chops, like theater. Like
adrenaline. Like there's a certain adrenaline.
When you made a joke and the joke landed, you're getting genuine reaction.
Yeah.
We have a first-time chat for you.
Oh, really?
In this now segment called Ask Mark Grody.
Yeah, I'm here.
Grote, working out. Should I listen to STP or Soundgarden?
Soundgarden. So I got to be honest, like, Stone Temple Pilots, it's like of the popular, like the big five grunge bands, that is my least favorite. And I respect Stone Temple Pilots.
How dare you do that to the album Purple?
Well, no, I mean, I don't like turn it off. I don't hate it. And like, I would have gone to a Stone Temple Pilots show back in the day. But like, the answer is Soundgarden. Chris Cornell all day.
Has an amazing voice.
Yeah, the best of those. And this is coming from, you know, Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder guy.
I will take your word for it.
Yeah.
All right. So
can I send you a tape, man, sometime?
A tape?
If you send me a tape, I don't know how I'll play
Mixed
it.
Tape.
But if you send me like a digital version of something, yes.
Then yeah, I think I could do
playlist.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about a CD?
Is that the way I say it?
Yeah, you said a tape.
see what I bring to the show?
I do have a tape player, but dang.
I think you need to send him a cassette tape. I think that's the way to do this. It's very high fidelity of you.
Don't you guys have... Oh, no, you guys are TV folks before... I have... No, I'm saying like
the TV folk over there.
I'm saying like I literally have glad bags of cassette tapes under my bed.
Oh, I have them.
From the radio world.
I have play-by-play reels.
Are
I have
you
all
kidding?
Kinds
yeah, I have a cassette tape of basically every time I called into the Dallas Cowboys post-game show.
Awesome. Hilarious.
I am not playing them for the public. It's not happening.
Are the Cowboys going to get trounced tonight, by the way, guys?
Oh, yeah.
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 It's on.
I don't know what the spread is, but I'm sure they will cover.
Yeah.
The spread is Philly's going to win.
Yeah, I heard that.
Whatever it is, cover.
I think it was on WBBM, actually. I heard yesterday that there's been some budget cuts for transportation in Philadelphia.
Yes,
so they were encouraging people to not come to the game unless you had tickets.
Yeah, but FanDuel's shut down covering, the express line.
FanDuel's covering the late trains.
That's
so they're going to be able to make the train home.
FanDuel cares about public transportation.
That's right.
And
shout
getting
out.
An unbelievable opportunity for branding, because that's what that is.
Guys, no, I didn't go by a caller name. I just went by Layla. I didn't know any better.
Why did I lose a bear, by the way? Somebody just said, and two people said Oasis. Was something inflated here? Why is Oasis?
Well, Oasis had a concert last week, so yeah, that might be something to do with
right.
it.
Right. They filled Soldier Field. It was the most populous hotel night ever in Chicago with all the concerts with System of a Down in town and Oasis and all of that. There was some sort of record broken in our great, big, beautiful city.
Everybody was either wearing Yankees gear or Oasis gear.
Yankees
were in town too, and yeah. I'm like, I had no idea there were so many Oasis shirts. I agree 630 who decided that Grody deserved to lose a bear. Blasphemy against Stone Temple Pilots. That's how I feel.
I'm sorry. I don't hate. I just said that they're my least favorite. The question was Soundgarden or Stone Temple Pilots. I tried to explain my answer why Soundgarden. I guess I should have just been positive about Soundgarden instead of being apparently negative about Stone Temple Pilots.
And now Mark Grody's first challenge on the show, Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody, is next. We have to fit in 4 segments worth of Bears content into 2.
Bears.
Can we do it?
Don't like our chances.
We start with the hate surrounding Caleb Williams that is outside of this city and some strong comments from people who know him well. Let's do that next on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
Hey.
Bears.
You're listening to Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, we didn't maybe score as many points or anything like that last year or win as many games, but some of these reports that come out, yes, they are a little false, especially after a year that I had last year. It's all right. It's everybody's job, and everybody has a job to do, and my job is to win games.
This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. That was Caleb Williams when he was on with Mark Grody and me talking about the question that you asked him, Mark, as to whether or not he was judged fairly. And I feel like that's a good place to continue as we hear some Stone Temple Pilots in honor of Mark Grody Day here on The Score. He felt it. He felt the understanding that he is an epicenter for conversation, discussion, and the like. And Jason Leisure, our friend at the Sun-Times, who's off and on with the afternoon show, continued with this. Leisure profiled the discourse surrounding Caleb Williams, and then he was also on the Amon-Ra and Equanimeous St. Brown podcast, the St. Brown Brothers podcast, and it was talked about there as well. And I feel like that's where you have to start, is so many times we talk about out-of-town stupid, but when it comes to the out-of-town lightning bolt that I feel like surrounds Caleb Williams from discussion, comments everywhere, the commentary that's on national networks and the like, he is somebody who I feel like not only is he talked about differently here compared to everywhere else, you do have a little bit of the hate here, but just the way he's discussed is like something we've never seen before.
The in-town hate is expected because there's going to be people who line up and who love Caleb Williams for whatever reasons they have, and there's going to be people who hate because haters exist. What caught me off guard and what I was not expecting, did you see what Sam Acho said about Caleb Williams? This was the all-timer for me.
And it's knowing Sam Acho, it's baffling why these things get said like this.
This man went on national TV and he talked about the fact that Caleb Williams didn't have his socks pulled all the way up in a preseason game, and somehow that made him both sloppy and a bad leader. And it's the way he said it with the same tone that you would say, well, he threw into triple coverage and that's why this was bad. I was like, this is completely subjective. Why are we doing this? Why are you saying this? I don't understand it.
That specific part, I don't understand, but the scrutiny, believe it or not, and trust me, as somebody who is in that Bears locker room as much as anybody, and at Halas Hall as much as anybody, I do laugh at a lot of these specific things that are said about the national audience or when they catch up or what they glom onto. However, this quarterback, Caleb Williams, even 2 years prior to being drafted, was being talked about as the word generational, which we're not really using anymore. The word elite, the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, right? Like a slam dunk, plug and play. This guy is like nothing that you have ever seen before. The adjectives were heavy. I'm part of it. You know what I mean? The plaudits were at a 10. So when you build up to that, I do think that there is some, and there's two parts to it. There's a little bit of resentment when there are people that maybe were skeptical about him being all that, and then all of a sudden, maybe to some degree, that they are proved right. So far, because of the season that we saw him have last year and to some degree some of the things we've seen this year. So I do, like, it's such an easy target. The number one overall pick, generational, elite, and he's the Chicago Bears quarterback. You know, like, he's not stuffed away in Tennessee or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's, and the fact that the stuff with his dad, all of it plays into this. Okay, where's this great elite generational quarterback? So some of it's stupid. What you just said, the Acho stuff is dumb. Absolutely, because style is a real thing in the NBA, in Major League Baseball. I mean, think about the way Major League Baseball players have been. Like, we want to just talk about their trousers. So, like, it used to be
Pat Hughes.
Over the spikes.
Not the trousers.
The trousers.
The stirrups.
I don't understand.
Socks.
Why does he have his pants pulled over his spikes? I don't understand. But, and then some guys have them
Alfonso Carrasco.
Carlos Carrasco. With the, like, basically looks like he's wearing shorts out there, like, watching him play. So I get it to some degree, but a lot of it is dumb, too.
Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I feel like the hot take industrial complex hits an all-time high when you're trying to figure out whether or not somebody's a good quarterback by their socks. Like, that's, I think, unfortunately, part of this, is that things get exaggerated and you've got to be different from the next person in the hot take industrial complex, because that's how you stand out. And then that's how you end up with takes like this. I liked what Caleb Williams had to say to Jason Leisure, because the operable question is why. And he says, I do things differently. Dress, play, all of these different things, paint my nails or whatever. I do some things that don't harm anybody else, but that other people don't like and have strong opinions about. He's right. If you're different, especially now from the prescribed social media aesthetic, whether that is whatever you choose as a woman on Instagram or whether it's the social media aesthetic that they prescribe to you as a quarterback, for example.
It's crazy.
Or how you're supposed to act or how you're supposed to be. Then I think that this happens. I also think that there is an element of criticism because he's also made a lot of money already. You know, he broke the mold in that way, too, having made $10 million out of college. He's done things differently. And what is different in this society is what gets you hated.
Also, the hate, I think, Mark, you brought it up, the Chicago thing. Him having to do it in Chicago, while it is a positive in terms of getting him exposure, he's not tucked away in Jacksonville or somewhere ever. But at the same time, people know that Chicago just doesn't have generational talent at quarterback. So it's also almost a chip against him. This is why he's destined to fail, because look at Chicago as an organization. And it's a good thing they have Ben Johnson now as the head coach, or I think that hate would be even stronger, because, like, he's gone out on the vine to die. He's been left in Chicago to die. Now Ben Johnson can reverse course on that. And I think ultimately all the hate that he's getting, it changes on its head if he has the type of season that Ben Johnson quarterbacks have been capable of doing.
So Caleb Williams also continued with Jason Leisure. He said, I've also been in some pretty cool positions in my life. Starting quarterback for the Bears, I went number one, won the Heisman. So I'd rather have people talking about me than not. And that was what I appreciated, Mark, about what he had to say when it came to your question. He's like, that's not my job to judge whether or not it's fair.
Honestly, and by the way, I said Carlos Carrasco earlier. I meant to say Carlos Santana. So me on that.
Well,
one.
And I was thinking of the OG Alfonso Soriano.
Oh yeah, no, that's an even better reference. The part about Caleb Williams, when it comes to all of this, whenever he's asked about it, obviously I asked him about it. There's been other times when, you know, he was asked about that video where he was missing when he was throwing the ball at the target, and he was, remember that, the video gate thing, and he just
he had to explain it,
but he laughs it off. Like, he's I'm sure it irritates him, but he comes across as amused by it more than anything. Like, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I could. Like, he's ready to answer it. He's ready to laugh about it. Even the stuff with Seth Wickersham when he was talking about, when he was asked about not knowing how to
watch film,
and he literally laughed it off. He's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. That's ridiculous. Like, it got misinterpreted. So while I'm sure he wants to push back sometimes, what I do know is that he is elite when it comes to dealing. Like, he is made to deal with that kind of stuff, considering where he came from and the way he's been raised and the money that he already has in his pocket.
Right. Like, this is something that book says. He's been serious since he was 9 years old.
You exactly. know,
that was discussed in there. Amon Ross St. Brown on the St. Brown Brothers podcast talked about the criticism that he gets on a daily basis.
Oh, that's my guy.
Bro, I be on Twitter, like, I feel like they be on his 24/7. He can't do right. Like, no matter what he does, good or bad, it's all on Twitter. Like, I swear he can't breathe. Like, there's one dude in the NFL, it's him. Like,
nah,
he takes one step wrong, it's like, oh, Caleb did this. Like, bro, they can't just let him be. I feel bad sometimes, man. I be like, bro.
Nah, they be right for sure. I'm not going to lie. It's crazy because, like, you see, like, other players, and, like, we watch the film and you know, like, who's out here really.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, like, when it comes to C. Will, I don't know what it was. That media had asked me, like, the same thing today. And I was like, I don't know. Y'all tell me. Like, y'all the ones out there creating all the stories, like, and all this different stuff. So, I don't know. It comes to the point, like, it don't even come down to, like, keep it football, because all the football stuff they talk about be false, too. So, it's like, I don't know. You just get all the flack. It's like the number one pick, you know, in Chicago. Right. That's the treatment they get. So, I don't know.
And that was also the voice of Roma Dunze that you hear there, too, who was drafted practically side by side with him, number 9 overall and number 1 overall. So, you know, they have that connection. And I think there's a part of this, too, that needs to be said, and I'll continue to say it as long as it is a thing. There's a prescribed way that people want certain people to act. And when they don't act that way, a lot of people get angry.
Yeah, people love an excuse and a reason to be miserable, because most people, and I, unfortunately, I believe this to be true, most people are miserable at their core. They are not happy with what they are doing in life. That's why reality TV gets the ratings that it gets, because people are just trying to escape their own reality and find something either entertaining or more depressing than their own versions of life. And I think with Caleb Williams, there's a reason he laughs it off most of the time when these things are brought up, Mark, because he's laughing all the way to the bank. And he understands, if I just play better football, all this attention that I'm getting, it will remain. It'll just be mostly positive.
Yeah, and what Rome doesn't realize, and maybe other players on that offense, that Caleb takes all the heat so you don't have to. You know, there'd be so much more. Like, Rome had a decent rookie season, but there would have been, even going back to camp when we're all breathless, as we should be, over Caleb Williams, we would have been breathless. Roma Dunze, also a number one pick. So we would have been breathless, and our scrutiny, not necessarily hard criticism, we'd be telling you every day, what are the updates on Roma Dunze? What did Roma Dunze do today? Like with Kevin White, when he was the number one receiver drafted here. Ugh. And it was, what's your number one doing? So it's like he gets other guys off the hook. A lot of it's silly, but there have been some heavy adjectives associated with Caleb Williams, unlike most quarterbacks. And I mean, how many can you count that have come out of college and it's like, this is a slam dunk quarterback? I mean, Andrew Luck, and then who's before that?
You want to do something like a thought exercise?
Yeah, thought exercise, Danny yeah. Parkins.
Look up the 2015 NFL draft first round.
Didn't we do this?
Yes.
Did we do this on the telly?
And that's kind of why that's what I'm getting at here. Look at that first round of the 2015 NFL draft.
Yeah.
Because it's recent enough to where you know how you felt about looking at that draft, but then it's also far away enough where you're like, man, what were some of these thoughts? And again, you know, that's a whole other industrial complex, the draft industrial complex, but it's a confluence of issues that I think we will continue to observe, and unfortunately it will evolve, because as we know, people keep moving the goalposts.
That's never going to change.
That's why I paused there, but that's it. So this is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody, and coming up next, there was a big nugget that you, Mark, and Dan Wiederer talked about on Friday's show when Marshall and I were both out. Not just about Caleb Williams, and I think something that is a really common discussion in the NFL, But the way it was presented was surprising, because typically, I don't think we'd be happy about this. That's next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on! This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Brody. That's the big announcement. We made it at 10 o'clock today. Rahimi and Harris and Brody. Brote.
Mark Brote.
It is going to be hard for me to always say Mark Brody.
It's okay. You can call me Grote. You can call me Grote. You can just call me Grody. And you know what? Occasionally.
Totes like, McGrotes?
It's weird sometimes when people call me Mark. Like, it's gotten to that point.
Catches you off guard?
Yeah, I have. Oh, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, he was a slam dunk quarterback as well. I had somebody ask me.
I was like, we're calling you Trevor Lawrence now?
No. I was asking for who were the other slam dunk quarterbacks. Sorry, it was just stream of consciousness on my part. But I had, there was a gal that I was once interested in, and I was talking to her.
She was a gal?
At a party. A gal. Because I don't want to say babe. I don't want to say girl. A gal. I think gal is a classy.
Lady.
A young. Is that the best way to say
it? I think a young
I was
lady.
Speaking to a young lady, and that I was interested in, and she asked me the question. She goes, eventually, she goes, why do they call you Grody?
Well, because it's my last name.
That's my name.
And there's a lot less Grodys out here than there are Marks.
She thought it was a nickname. So, yes.
I could see that. Yeah. But then that's kind of mean, isn't it? That's Grody. That
well, kind of. Did she call you Grody? The story. Yeah.
So, did she call you Grody?
She called me Grody.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
That.
Yeah. She did. She did.
As long as she's calling you.
Yeah. Worked out for a while.
I'm going to let that sit.
Yeah, no, that it should sit.
I'm going to let us marinate on that.
I don't want to go any further with it. Let's talk Bears.
Don't limit to that.
Bears, baby.
That, yes, as we have been taught, we are supposed to get into our take a little earlier in the segment. I will say this, is that I know I was really compelled listening to what you and Dan Weider, a.k.a. the Take the North podcast, had to say on Friday, where a lot of people may have missed it. Talking about a very important aspect of what Ben Johnson wants out of Caleb Williams. This is proprietary to Dan Weiderer. So let's flash back to Friday and hear what Dan had to say about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson.
Then I wanted to read this quote from you, because this is the one I really want your reaction to. It's Ben basically saying that while this offense that I'm installing here in 2025 is more sophisticated and complex than the one I was teaching Jared Goff in 2022, I cannot go back and meet Caleb where he's at. He's got to catch up to me.
Mm.
And here was his quote on that. I'll read you and you react. He said, that's the nature of the NFL. This league keeps moving. It keeps turning. And if you go backwards, then you're going to fall behind pretty quickly. So we can't just afford to do that. It's like drinking through a fire hose at a lot of different points with these young players. But I have trust with the coaching staff and the experience we have here. We're going to be able to find the right recipe of what's the right volume. And yet we still have to attack the opponent.
Wait a second. I've been barking for years about coaches saying that, well, that they should alter their offense to what the capability of their talent is. This flies in the face of that.
I like it because I think it comes with the nuance of understanding that what he said about the fire hose, right? Like, you're going to get some of that water, but you're also going to get hurt by the fire hose. It's about Caleb's ability to absorb as much as possible and then to see, okay, I need you to take on more, but we're going to pace this out, which is why I think the Bears offensively are going to get off to a slower start.
Ben Johnson, you're playing a dangerous game, my friend.
Okay.
You're playing a dangerous game here. And immediately, my reaction to that day, and it still is, I go back to Matt Nagy when Matt Nagy was taking a beating from everybody for insisting upon his offense and pushing it on Mitch Trubisky until he stopped pushing it on Mitch Trubisky and finally tore pages out of this deluxe massive playbook that he had from his days with Andy Reid. And we were hard on him for that. Now, this is a different animal. Like, there is a better resume for Ben Johnson. There is an offense that we have seen that has been outstanding with Detroit. So when he says, you got to come to me, there's a little bit more weight put into that. And let's be real here. He's not saying that it's just, it's come to me or bust. Ben Johnson, of course, is going to adjust game plans to his quarterback, to Caleb Williams. But it like right away, my initial reaction was that's dangerous. Like, especially with this quarterback that is just learning this offense.
I think it's a bold take when you know, as we've seen, that when coaches are inflexible, it results in absolute catastrophe.
Catastrophe.
Like when I think of Matt Nagy's inflexibility, I think of the Browns game for Justin Fields and how I felt like, in a way, that felt like hazing. It was so bad. You know, the 9-sack game.
Yeah.
I feel like Matt Nagy also said, you know, it takes 4 years to learn his offense. And by that metric, and he said that in 2021, so what, by 2023 it was supposed to have taken? Like, that's just unrealistic. But in this case, I think Ben Johnson's also saying it to motivate him. You know, that's something he's trying to use to motivate in this case. Like, oh, you want to get on this level? Well, then you have to also come up with us. So do I think that that is dangerous in the respect of he may not be on that level? Yeah, we're still trying to figure out what his strengths and his weaknesses are, what his capability is. But when it comes to him saying that as a motivation ploy, I don't mind it.
No, I like that. But I think with Ben Johnson specifically, he took this job for a reason, because he wanted to work with Caleb Williams. So he had to have some fundamental understanding of what his quarterback was capable of. It'll be interesting to see how that's implemented in the early going specifically. Monday, 3 days, four days from now. I can't wait to see what it looks like from a Caleb and Ben Johnson standpoint.
I also think that there's an article in The Athletic we didn't have time to get to today because we had too much going on. But it talks about the difference between coaches who know one playbook versus coaches who know how to create one. And there are coaches who only know one playbook, and then they're obsessed with trying to get the right quarterback for that playbook. Matt Nagy comes to mind because that's how I feel he felt about Andy Dalton. And in this case, I don't necessarily think that that's correct. Like when Ben Johnson says strip it down to the studs, I think he truly means it's not going to be the same playbook he had in Detroit for those specific people. So that's a big part of this too.
I also like the idea that, I mean, obviously he did interview for the job and he obviously would have had to have presented to Ryan Poles and all the other people that were part of the process and say, I'm coming here. But I'm doing my way. I am bringing my offense. Like, you got to come to me. And I think, you know, I'm not sure what Bears fans think. And you could jump in on the text line, 312-644-6767. Like, when you hear that, you know, what do you think immediately? I think most Bears fans would be like, yeah, like, nothing has worked through the years. You know, like, if this is a different way of doing things, the coach saying, yeah, come to me and things will get better, then good. It's actually why, this is a wild place to go for me here. It's actually why when Mark Trestman was hired for the Chicago Bears, it turned out to be kind of a joke. Like, everybody was like, yeah, sure, let's try it. Let's try the guy from the who had success.
The person who's sitting in this chair was very obsessed with that idea. He was all about the toolbox of concepts.
Oh, you love that? You love that Trestman hiring?
I didn't.
Okay.
My predecessor.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he's very unfiltered. That's the problem.
I hadn't really heard any of that. Yeah. I've heard a lot about some of it, what I have heard.
But I bet even Dan, I don't know if he was or not, so I don't want to misquote him, but I bet even he was intrigued about this guy just because. Like every new coach, you're like, all right, maybe this guy's the mystery of the Canadian Football League and having won, is it Grey Cups? Is that what they call those?
Grey Cup. Yes.
Winning multiple Grey Cups and being a little weird. Like, we embraced all that stuff, all the stuff that we hated in the end, we all embraced early on with Mark Trestman. I'm sorry I went Mark Trestman. I was not planning on doing that on
my
first
day. Ben
Johnson
is the new dictator in town. Give him all the power because you couldn't get it done in your whatever world you were living in before.
And his name is Reggie Hammonds.
Well, just like a relationship, right? Where the things you like about them, you end up hating. The Trestman, I haven't heard any of that. It's just the way I live my life. We have more coming up here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. That's the big announcement today. It is Raheemy and Harris and Mark Grody. The Cubs game last night, the group thread was torn apart. Torn!
It was 3-on-1 action, actually.
It was torn. So now we got to get Grody's take, too, because how do you do that to a dude who had a no-hitter? Let's talk about it next.
In organized and thoughtfully created.